Thanks, everybody. It's going to be an exciting week, and we do add to our prayers. A special consideration for all of the folks who are traveling. I know that Yawali is going to be among us here very soon. Thank you, madam. The caravan from Tucson will be launching out this evening, heading this way, as it always does. We have folks flying in from France. We have folks, Faladin and another brother from Nigeria will be coming in as well, and lots of other folks flying in from various places. So we just ask the Lord to watch over all of them and bring them safely without any disturbance, you know. Gosh, you know, I'm just so grateful to the Lord for the way he's connecting us with people around the world. You know, particularly today, we speak blessing over Pastor Luciano and Anna as they're dedicating their new facility today. And Pastor Cello and Vanessa have driven up from the Cabo area to be with them on that day. It's a beautiful facility. They've been working diligently to get it ready. And so we're really, really thankful for that. Also, Pastor Rafa from down there, that church is really a training center for not only Brazil, but for so many places. They just started a mentoring program, and this past week he had well over 100 people on their first mentoring outreach through Zoom throughout the nation. And this isn't just his people, this is people around the nation. So God is doing a great work, and we're so grateful for the part that the Lord has asked us to play. So, thank you all. Wonderful time of ministry so far. And I'm just been blessed abundantly on this time change day. So, you know, since it's only 10:43, it's going to be a long time before anybody in Ava's group gets hungry today because of the time change. So, Sarah, I'm just going to keep speaking. I'm just going to go on for a long, long time. Would you turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. What a season we've been in, meeting with the Lord. He asked us to meet with him every night. I had something, since Debbie's not in here, I can tell you something really funny. So, Stephanie, don't you tell her I said this, okay? A couple weeks ago, this old man had gone to bed early, you know, 9:15. I'm meeting with the Lord. I'm ready to go to sleep. So I don't know what time it was. It was around midnight. Debbie, who does not share that same proclivity, she comes in. She said, "Ron, somebody's knocking." I said, "What?" She said, "I hear this loud knocking, and I don't know whether it's somebody outside wanting to come in or what." So I thought, okay. So I get up, and I go, and I'm looking around. I look out the porch. I look on the back porch. I look in the garage. I even go upstairs. I'm just going everywhere. And I said, "I don't see anything. I don't see anybody." She said, "Well, it stopped when you got up." Now, I thought, yeah, I could preach right now. I'm not going to say anything. So I suspect that in this time where the Lord's been meeting with us and standing at the door and knocking, but maybe that was it. Or maybe it was something else. I don't know. I just couldn't find it. So anyway, I hope your time with the Lord over this past month has been really fruitful. It's not over yet because we said we were going to go through seminar. But it really has been a unique time in meeting with Jesus. And today, I felt that the Lord wanted us to examine what he has to say in his word about those kinds of meetings. And so we're going to be primarily looking at Hebrews 12, but we'll also stop back at Revelation 3:19 in just a little while, in his words to the church at Laodicea. But Hebrews 12, we're going to read from verses 6 through 10, and we're going to talk about what scripturally it means to be received by the Lord, to be received. And I think it's going to really address some of the things that you felt and some of the things that you've experienced. So, Hebrews 12, verses 6 through 10. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son who he receives. Wow. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father does not chasten? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. I didn't ask for verse 11, but I'll read it anyway. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Boy, this is a passage that I'm sure as you read it, it doesn't seem very pleasant. Even Paul said, it's not joyous to experience these things. And even the idea of chastening, which is basically the word paideia, and that just means a child that's in training. In many cultures, they discuss that using that very word. A child that's being prepared for kingship, a child that's being prepared for some special duty. But it's the process of that. So chastening is a developmental term, primarily. Now, scourging means something else. I mean, scourging means what it sounds like. If you look it up in whatever defining resource you use, it means to get a whooping, or it means to really be brought into some measure of correction. And those are the terms that are used here. This passage particularly speaks about what it means to be with the Father. And the term, which you need to note, in verse 6, whom the Lord loves, that's agape. So it's a training for you embracing your role at the right hand of the Father to stand with him in full, breathing hard after his purpose. And so then you drop down. We're going to talk about a lot of terms, and then we're going to go specifically as to what it means to be received of the Father. It speaks about the Father of spirits in verse 9, to be in subjection to him. Now, what does that mean? You think about it. First of all, it's the Father. The Father of spirits. The whole context of this passage is not talking about angels, because to which of the angels said, he sit here at my right hand? It's not talking about angels. Angels are not in this training capacity. Angels are not in this framework where, they're being disciplined of the Father so that he can rise them into a role of sonship. That's our provision. So the whole concept of agape, the whole concept of what's being talked about in the development of sons is a measure where we're serving the Father. And the Father of Spirits then is more in line with the fact that His Spirit dwells within all of us. That's the real connective between you and the Father. When you're born again in spirit, when your spirit prays in tongues, who does the Bible say it prays to? It prays to God. And so the Father of Spirits is speaking about how God has created each of us with an identity. Before the foundation of the world, He knew you. While you were in your mother's womb, He knew you. And it's speaking about how each of us has a unique invitation to commune with the Father, because that Spirit that is in you that He sent His Son to redeem and to draw back to Him, that speaks of your identity with the Father. So this, that's a very, very interesting depiction. And it says that with this, if we were would be willing to do it, we would have a Father, and we would be those who are partaking in a measure of the dynamic of His holiness, verse 10. So we are partakers of that mission of being saintly if we're willing to go through this process. This passage is extraordinary, and I really do think that you cannot separate it from the process that the Father has us in right now, the process of being changed so that we can enter into the kingdom, the process of being what we were talking about earlier here in Sunday school, being pruned, being circumcised in the heart, being made humble before the Lord, so that all of those passages, breaking up fallow ground, to where we are really sensitive to even what Les was talking about earlier with these beautiful flowers. The pruning welcomes the new birth. And that those are all terms that God uses to describe us, and you cannot separate yourself from them. You don't hear this message spoken much in churches because it's easier to say, well, bless God, when you're born again, you have every privilege that God has offered you because He's no respecter of persons. I'm telling you that, brother. What do you need? And we're all told that as soon as we come into the kingdom, bless God, we've got it all. Like we're some spoiled inheritor of an old money fortune, to where we just start writing checks and taking names. That's not what God says in His Word. Yes, you're born again. Yes, He loves you. Yes, you're in the family. But you have a responsibility to be in training, to grow from babies, to go to children, to go to young ones, and to grow to those that are established in the faith. That whole discussion that Jesus had with Peter. Peter, do you love me? You remember that? What were those three things? You remember? First thing you do is you teach these babies, term Jesus used. The next thing you do is you feed these ones that are growing, that aren't babies anymore, but you're teaching them how to survive on their own. And the third one, very clearly, was you are feeding these established sheep. That progression is everywhere in the Word. And if you and I are right now are being prepared to represent the Father in ways beyond anything we've known and anything we've imagined. And so we want to be partakers, partners with Him. That word is a really unique word. It's paradekomai. And now we're going to talk about dekomai here in just a minute. But he receives, that's paradekomai. But the word where we're partakers, that's a word that means that you accept what he's called you to do. It uses, stick with me now, it's not going to be confusing. Just let me say this one thing, but hear it. He if we're a partaker, it's the word metalambano. And there's a difference between lambano, which just means to take something, and dekomai, which means to be developed and to be received into something. So when God the Father of Spirits is drawing us into a pathway of holiness, we metalambano. We take that and we say, yes, I accept this responsibility, this tangible offering. And everybody, if you're paying attention at all on the internet, should know what meta means. I mean, they changed Facebook to Meta, which means everybody. So the Father of Spirits has a special role for you and for you and for you and for you and all of us. And so if we reach out and we become those that are partakers, well, we're saying, I'm here. You've been training me. I'm willing to take that. But the development is the word, a derivation of dekomai. So there's a difference between lambano, which just means to take something. It's a transaction. It's an exception, an acceptance of the role. And dekomai, which really means you got to accept this. You got to receive this. And you've got to be received. It's a measure of coordination and a measure of you really being willing. And boy, that really makes a big difference in the church. People are willing to reach out and grab something. What is that in thine hand? They like that. But when it talks about you got to submit yourself, it's not just about receiving. You got to partner. You got to submit. You know, it was wonderful. So many people are praying right now for this gathering this week, and I'm grateful for that. But I was joking. I saw the word that Zach's family, the Port St. John, submitted, and Zach's mom, Vicky, who we love dearly, the very first word was that she saw this platform and she saw a flagpole and a white flag on it, and I thought, well, that could mean a couple things. That could mean either we said we give up, or it could mean that we're surrendering to the Lord. And she said the winds of the Spirit were blowing. So we're in this process of submitting to the Lord, and the white flag is the fullness of truth. And so I embrace it in that way. But I just thought that was kind of funny. Raise the white flag, boys. We've had it. Sandra, gather your flowers. Let's get out of here. Or Barry, you get the flowers. Sandra will tell you where to put them. But you know, this is very interesting. So we're a partaker of the Father of Spirits. But what we really want to focus on is what it means to be when the Lord is chastening and scourging every son who he receives. The other day, I think it was on Saints Radio, we were discussing what happens in the Bible when Jesus meets with somebody privately. And that's an interesting thought. You know, lots of people like romanticize it. Oh, the Lord walked into the room and he wiped my eyes and he took me on his shoulders and he said, look how many footprints there are. You know, I'm carrying you. You know, and you think, well, that's not really what happened when he met with a rich young ruler. And he said, hey, you got a lot of money. Get rid of it all and follow me. And the guy walks away sad. Or when he met with Peter, and we don't have the transcript of what was said after the resurrection. The Bible clearly says that he met with Peter alone. What do you think that conversation was like? Not bad, loving, but hey, what about when he met with the disciples and he said, hey, some of you guys have been doubting me. Stick your finger in my hand. Stick it in the side. Woo, that's really kind and tender, isn't it? Or what about the time when he said, hey, didn't I tell you guys that I was going to rise from the dead and I'd meet you here? And he upbraided them for their lack of faith. What about the time that he met with Saul, who would be known as Paul, when Paul had first of all experienced him as a bright and shining light, became blind, and then he was led on the road to Damascus, and he's there and he's blind, and the Lord shows up. He said, hey, how long are you kicking against the pricks? None of that is Hallmark card quality. And so in Revelation, which we're going to get to in a minute, Jesus knocks at the door and he says, you know what? I've got some bones to pick with you. And he says, I'm going to tell you how screwy you've made your life. Now, that's my term. You read it. He's a lot more graphic. you know, you think you've got it made. You are so far off. Now, I'm not trying to demean the Lord. We love him. He's the same as the Father. He's the same as the Spirit. They're one. But when we have representation of the Lord coming, this verse makes a whole lot of sense to me. The Lord chastens and scourges everyone that is moving on behalf of agape, whom he receives. Let's talk about this receive business, okay? Now, this is all good, but I'm telling you, over these past weeks, as I mentioned this earlier, as I've waited before the Lord for the purposes of serving the Father in whatever way he's requiring me in the days to come, it's been wonderful, but it has not been happy time in many occasions. I mean, the Lord has said some things to me that, I mean, they were true, and things that I didn't even realize, but it's for the purpose of causing me to be a better servant with him of the Father's purpose, and so that I can be a partaker of what he's called me to be in conjunction with our placement as saints in the world. And I'm very, very grateful for that. So, okay, so we talked about the difference between just taking something, which is a lambano, that's a good word. We accept our place, as the French would say, prendre place, you know, we're taking our place. But if you're taking your place, you've got to be submitted and ready to take that place. Otherwise, at the first problem, you're going to skedaddle, and then everybody else on the right and the left is going to be left in the lurch, making up for you and wondering, okay, you know, defend this place, this person's AWOL. So, but dekomai is different. It's the word, a derivation here, of what it means to be received. In fact, it's the word paradekomai, which means approval both ways. You have submitted, and the Lord is acknowledging that you have cooperated, and he welcomes you. So no matter which way you slice this word, it's not ollie ollie in free. I do not understand this ollie. No matter which way you slice this, this isn't Jesus standing there with his hands wide open, and you just, no matter what you're doing, you just come to him. This is a business word, and it's very important. Now, everybody has their own ideas of what receiving would mean. So let's just look at some of the other derivations of dekomai that are plainly used in the scripture, and let's make sure that we see that the divine author did not use these words to describe this. So as I said, paradekomai is the one in verse 6 that's used to describe being received. And that means you've gone along with the process. You've allowed God to do what he wants to do. And subsequently, he's noticed, and it's been acceptable to him. That's very important. Now, if the Holy Spirit wanted to, he could have used prosdekomai, which is a word that is used to describe somebody that's looking and waiting for something to come. I remember when I was a little boy, before I really had any sense, not to say I have much now, but often, you know, I was the baby of the family, so I was the last one in the house. My siblings were gone, and I recognized over the years what a blessing that was. But at Christmas time, when some of them would be coming back home, I would wait at the window and watch for them to come with great anticipation. Now, when they got there, it wasn't all that I thought it would be cracked up to be, but it was just fun watching. That's not the word that's used, receive. Jesus is not waiting at the window for you to decide to come on. He wants you to come, but that's not the word that was used. He also didn't use hupodekomai, which is another word that's used in the scripture. And you know what that means? That means that you welcome somebody in your house as a guest. That's not the word that's used. Reminds me of the phrase of Ben Franklin, you know, house guests are like fish. After 3 days, they start to stink. I think that's great. Of course, he's not been woked out. We can still talk about Ben Franklin. Yeah, I guess we can. So that's not the word. It's not, okay, come home, come home. That's not the word that's used here when it's talking about Jesus receiving. So again, all of us biblical purists who were born and raised into the church, and we say every word is inspired, every word is inerrant, that it's author and finisher, Alpha, Omega, I think the Spirit knew which word he was using. Wouldn't you say? I would think so. So receiving doesn't mean that either. Let's keep going on this. I'm having fun. I don't know about you. Epidekomai. This word means to make a choice. In or out. In or out. And that's not the word that's used. You know, some people like to think that they can give it the old college try. Jesus is welcoming me on Sunday. Monday, I have second thoughts. I don't know. And when it comes to midweek service, bless God, the enemy's been after me all week. Bless his holy name. I mean, we got to get filled up again. No, this is not the word that was used. It's not an in and out thing. You're either in or you're not in. That's, if you don't believe that, read some of the parables. You know, the five foolish virgins come. Hey, we're a little bit late. Let us in. No. You're not coming in. It's not in or out. And the Spirit could have used that word, but it didn't. What about apodekomai? That's another great one. You know what that means? This is a great one. We would think that this is what the Spirit certainly would have said because we are such exceptional people. This means to accept somebody without restriction because you respect them so much. So, oh boy, we've got this guy coming, and boy, he's well known, you know. We're just so excited to have him in the house. Let him come. Whatever he wants to do is fine. We're just happy to have him here. Some Christians think that's the way they are in the kingdom. The Lord's just happy to have him here. You can do whatever you want because God still loves you. You can do it all. And it's just okay. It's just like when a grandkid comes to the house. Let them do whatever they want to do. They're just here. And we'll just explain to mom later. No, that's not it. That's not the word that's used. And all these are scriptural terms. They're used in different ways. And then there's this one. Anadekomai. A-N-A, dekomai. And this word means to accept. And to accept and become, to commit to acquiesce. And it's just used in one chapter before. Let's look at it. Hebrews 11, 17, where it's talking about Abraham and Isaac. And it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received, there's our word, anadekomai, the promises, offered up his only begotten son. This is that word that means Abram had accepted the promise of God so much that he wasn't reliant upon Isaac being that answer, even though he loved and cherished that boy as a child of promise, and he pretty sure thought that that was it, but he had to obey God. Now, that's a great word. That's a powerful faith word, but that's not the word that is used here. It's not just because me and Barry decided, yeah, this is the path. We're agreeing to it. We're with you, Lord. And God said, okay, come on in. I mean, that's not the word, even though we might think that it is as good saints because we've been serving for 30 years and, you know, we've done all these things and gladly and God has done all this stuff. Certainly God will let us in. That's not the word that was used. No. It is this word, paradekomai. And it comes in conjunction with chastening, What's the Bible say here? Chastening and scourging. Chastening is we recognize that God continues to develop us as sons. And we also are willing for the Lord, figuratively, to take us to the woodshed. And you know what? I don't feel any whip on my back, but at times during these moments with the Lord, He's addressed things that I didn't even know were there. I guess I could have known if I could see myself from a distance, or if I could say, I know Him pretty well. I see Him there. He's behaving Himself. But I know that deep in there, He's not liking what's going on here. And the Lord's touching those places. And isn't it the case that, you know, it's not guilt. God doesn't deal in guilt. It's conviction, but not guilt. The enemy deals with guilt. Guilt is a taskmaster, and God does not deal with that. If there's guilt in your life, you come to the Lord, you ask His forgiveness, blood of Jesus cleanses it, and you shouldn't be paying the price for that over and over and over again. If the blood of Jesus has already stamped that cleansed, leave it alone. The enemy may not want you to, but you leave it alone. But the Spirit, it always searches the hearts. The Spirit searches the deep place of the belly, it says. And some of us, that's a lot more of a journey than for others. But, you know, this is something that the Lord looks to, and He recognizes, hey, in this next area, it's like the communion principle. I'm going to give you the word. I'm going to give you a sprinkling of the blood. But this business of the sop, you better let my Spirit touch you, because if you don't, this word, no matter how powerful it is, and the activation of the blood, you're going to be taken out because you're vulnerable here. You're vulnerable by your own hand. Now, why would not the sop during that time of communion where we're meeting of Jesus be the same as this? Because those are temporal measures of supply for our path of grace. That's what we get in the midst of warfare. That's what we get in the midst of taking new ground. That's functional. This is identity. Do you understand that? So the receiving is something that we have to recognize. Hey, God is doing me a great honor. He's training me to be His son. And I don't want to ever abandon that. And secondly, there are things that He sees that either I don't see or I won't see or I don't want to see that He sees. And in love, He says, this is not doing you any good. See that part of you over there? It'll do you no good. I got to get it out. In fact, that place there is a desolate place. And I intend to use that place in you to partner with my glory. And this fallow ground has to be broken up. This field has to be plowed. Get it out. And that sometimes is painful. You know, when the Spirit begins to move, didn't we say this a long time ago and we saw this happen? When the Spirit was activating places within us, and God was awakening our identity and our giftings. The problem was that a rising tide floats all boats. And iniquities that were twisted purpose in some people did not want to yield. And so what they would do would be to rise up and come against people or just the general flow of what God was doing. So you had the battle of purpose versus iniquity. And, you know, that we recognize from the beginning. Not to say that we're moving in iniquity now, but if iniquity is truly the twisting of purpose, then where God wants to activate purpose for the new day in an area that has not been used, or to build upon something that has been used, then that's also the development of purpose. And it doesn't have to be that you're moving in iniquity. It just could mean, just like when some of you start to exercise, muscles that you'd not use begin to cry out, "Stop!" You ever experienced that? I did. I remember when I started doing physical therapy, and I still do it every day. It's fun. I would sometimes limp out of there thinking, I sure hope this girl that's training me knows what she's doing, because I sure do feel bad right now. So it may not be that you're doing some horrible thing. It may just be that you're doing something that you were created to do that you've never done before. And you got to stick with it, don't you? You got to keep doing it. You got to press on. And so this process of scourging doesn't preach real well on Sunday morning, because I'm just supposed to tell you in 3 points how to get everything you want from God, and you can go down to the cafeteria and eat and be happy. What did the preacher preach on? I don't know, but I sure enjoyed it. So this is where we've been. And for the Father of spirits to be a partaker of what we're called to do, but this receiving business is a two-way street, paradekomai. And it's you doing what God has asked and Him partnering with you in it, and the receiving is when that transaction is occurring. It's not ollie-ollie in free. It's not I'm going to give it the old college try. It's none of those things. There were certainly words, and we just went through them, that the divine author could have used, but he chose not to. So this is where it is. So let's bring this then. And what was the heading? Whom the Lord loves. This is agape. And this is according to the Father of spirits. It's about our mission that's been appointed by God and our development as sons. How does this fit with what we have been following as our signature passage in Revelation 3? Well, we'll see, won't we? Let's look. Revelation 3, 19. I think Uncle Scott's got the words up there on the screen, maybe, but I've got it right here in red, which makes mine much more anointed than what's up there. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Wow, how dare Jesus say something like that? Now, this, you will notice, is not agape. This is phileo. As many as I phileo. Well, why would he say this in this seventh day? Now, this, even though Jesus is readily involved in the passage that we read in Hebrews, here is this seventh day. And here is the Lord appearing before these people and before us. And here is Jesus saying, okay, it's you and me. It's you and me. Well, you got some things that we need to talk about, because I need you to be walking with me. I need you to know my ways, to accept my ways, and to begin to like my ways. This is the same Peter, do you like me? Do you phileo? It's not about the agape here, even though agape rules heaven. It's about the Lord looking at us as sons, dare I say, as the bride of Christ, so that we're in agreement together. Those areas that you do that, you know, it's kind of like, I don't. Thank God I don't do premarital counseling much anymore. But sometimes you'd see a couple come in and you'd think, you don't know diddly about this person. You may have some idea of the way your marriage is going to be, but I would dare say this person over here is thinking something entirely different. I remember going to a, I believe it or not, I used to do this. I went to a seminar one time to learn how to be a better counselor in that area. And I'll never forget, the guy got up and he said, you know, so often when a man and woman, they come together and they want to get married, the guy's thinking, boy, I hope she stays the same as she is right now forever. And the girl's thinking, wait till I get married to him. I'm sure going to change him. You know, people have crazy ideas about finance that vary drastically from one another. Many times they have ideas about how many children they're going to have or if they're going to have children. You better talk about that beforehand just so that you're in agreement. And so many other things. Notice I'm not looking over at Katie and Zach at this time. But, you know, it's very interesting. And for Jesus, we are the bride of Christ. And contrary to a lot of belief in the church, that doesn't mean that we're outfitting ourselves like Klinger on MASH in a full wedding gown. Let me show you the bride of Christ. And the angel shows him the new Jerusalem coming down into the place of the earth where the kingdom of God has come. We're being trained to rule and reign with Jesus, to be joint heirs. So the Lord here is talking to this seventh day about you getting into alignment with the way he does things. He doesn't want to give you authority and power to represent him in the new, and what you thought and what he thought are two different things. Because I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter diddly what you think. It's what he thinks. And that's what he's talking to us about. And so you go back to the business of the agape, where we're taking our place before the Father of spirits and we're serving in the place that we readily accept and commit to, and we are partnering with him in this business of being trained and this business of being reproved so that we can enter in as partakers. Here is the Lord himself saying, okay, we're going into the new. I'm giving you greater authority. You're walking with me. This needs to be corrected. This is a personal thing. This is not a democracy. This is not getting you getting up a prayer chain and you get enough people signing your prayer petition so that the Lord will acquiesce and let you be what you want to be. There's none of that. This is the Lord coming saying, we have business to do with the Father. I'm going to invest myself with you. You're standing alongside me in power. We're going to welcome the kingdom. You're being changed right now, but I have some things that I need to talk to you about because you're not thinking like I think. Does that sound familiar to anybody? And I dare say that if that's not going on in you, maybe you haven't been doing something right. If you are in one of these other deck of my camps and you think, well, the Lord just loves me no matter what I do. I'm just going to come and doesn't he love me? There's a seat at the table for me. I'm just going to come in. Well, all those things are true, but not in this process of development. Do you understand? So as we come toward the conclusion of what the Lord said over this past month, every night, I'm knocking at the door. Open, come in. I'm going to come and we're going to talk together. It's not going to be, oh, poor you. It's the Lord saying, let's talk about this. This area right here, I know the plans I have for you, plans to do you good. You are my chosen one. Yes, you've been faithful in these ways, but I want to do something new and I'm inviting you to do it with me. But first, let's talk a little bit. It's like if you hire somebody, you want to make sure that they understand what you expect from them in that job. It's not just, hey, you know, I need a new director of sales. Just come in and do whatever you want to do. Just come on. Anything you do is fine. Give it a try. After a week or so, you can quit if you don't want it. Nobody does. Well, maybe somebody does that. They're not in business anymore. But who would do that? You lay out things. This is what I expect. You represent this company. You don't represent the 15 other companies down the street. You represent this company. And this is what we expect. This is how we do business. This is the way we treat our customers. This is the main goal of this group. Your particular responsibility has to do with this and this and this. And they better agree to it. or they're not getting hired. And if they agree to it, and a month later, they're not doing it, do you think that boss is going to say, what are you doing? Maybe this wasn't a good choice for us. Maybe we need, how can you, you don't want to say fired. Maybe we can do a euphemism. Maybe we need to uncouple here. I don't want to be in that place where we are down the road and glorious things are happening and God has entrusted us with responsibility and then all of a sudden, the Lord, you're not doing what I ask you to do. In fact, you're not representing me very well at all. None of us want that. He doesn't want it. So this is not a hard message. This is a splaining message. This is what's been going on for the past several weeks. And this is what God is culminating for the ingathering of this seminar. And it's a good thing. It's an exciting thing. But this is what the kingdom does. This is what the scripture says. And so I'm grateful for it. I think that for all of us, we want to combine these passages and say, Father, we are committed to the agape, the greatest gift of all, of the passion for your purpose. That's the big thing. That's why Jesus came, to redeem us to the Father, isn't it? That's why he set up his place of hesteme in heaven at the right hand, so that he could pray for us to complete what the Father's will is. That's what he says he's doing. I'm so grateful that the Lord, through this developmental period of time over these years, almost immediately began to draw us to the Father. And we're grateful for that Father. You know, we have a little grandson. You've seen him running around on his tiptoes. And he has a fascination with his father. I mean, he'd rather be with Fabian than with anybody else. And it's really, it's different from when the twins were around. But it's really nice to see. And I was thinking about this the other day, and I thought, we should all be that way, not with Fabian, but we should all be that way with the Father. We should all be so desirous of being with him, to serve him. That's what Jesus is praying for. But we're with Jesus. Now, let's just set it straight. It's not, I am of Paul, I am of Peter, I am of Apollos. We're not choosing which part of God we want. We're choosing God. He reveals himself to us in this trifold way to show us how we can function properly with him and know him. So I'm grateful for the Father, but I also recognize that Jesus is doing the will of the Father, and he's raising up sons to be joint heirs and the bride of him. And at this point, he's training you. He is chastening. He is correcting, and we are submitting that we might what? To him that overcomes in this way, to him that participates in this thing successfully. What is the overcoming here? Is that you've swung every sword that's hanging from your belt and you're kicking it and taking names? What is he talking about here? What is the overcoming? I think it's more to do with you overcoming yourself. To he that is submitting to the will of the Father, he that is submitting to be like me, Christ-like, he that is submitting to what I am offering in this moment, I am granting to sit with me in my throne at the right hand, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. That's the end. That's the objective. And that's what he's preparing us for. We have functioned there in so many wonderful ways, but there's always more. And the more is requiring this rather unusual 40 day, it's almost 40 days. I haven't counted them. at least 30, of meeting with the Lord every night. And that's unusual, but it really speaks to the power of what's coming. So, how are we being received of the Lord? Again, is it doors wide open, y'all come on in? Or is it, let's talk a bit. I'll still love you. You're still in the family of God. But are you willing to accept this process? Because if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you're willing, I will accept you. I will receive you. If you're not, well, I still love you. But to go into this next phase of authority, you've got to be this way. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. That is not a bad thing. It's not an evil thing. Well, I don't like that kind of Jesus. You know, it's not bad. But it's what God says in His Word. I am not twisting this. It's where we are. And that's where God has chosen for us to be. White flag blowing in the wind up here. We submit to that because we love Him. And we want what the Father has wanted. And we want to be joint heirs with the Lord. And we want to walk with Him, don't we? So yes, the Lord loves you. Don't let guilt get in the way. Don't let the enemy dominate the airwaves. If you feel something that's stirring within you, and you feel some measure of discomfort with something that the Lord has brought to mind, don't go peeling off weeping or asking somebody to cast it out of you. They can pray till the cows come home, and they're not casting that out. You've got to come to grips with it with Jesus. Oh, make it all go away. Make it all better. Who's the strong intercessor here that can make me feel as if I'm okay again? We could lay hands on you until every hair plug you had installed falls out again. Not that anybody in here has had that done. But this is between you and the Lord. You're big enough boys and girls that this is not an uncommon encounter. Is it? This just makes sense. This is where we are. And hopefully these scriptures do a little bit of explaining as to what's been happening and why. This is perfectly the plan of God. And so we simply ask that in these days leading up to this ingathering of the saints and this seminar entitled His Rest, that God will complete what He has ordained for this time frame. And I want to be received of the Lord. I want to be in that process of being developed as a son. I readily admit that I don't like this scourging. But the Scripture says, and Scripture says it. Now, none of this at present seems joyous. So if the Scripture says it, it's okay that if I say ouch every now and then. It's whether I say yes, Lord, and let Him take it. And not only Him take it, it's not like, you know, you're asking your kid, you know, you're not supposed to be eating all those cookies that Aunt Ava made. Give them to me. And they give them to you, but then he's got several hidden under his pillow. It's not that God's going to take this stuff and then you're just going to be back at it here when He turns His look away, or if you think that could happen, it never could. It's Him changing you. And that's what we need. So what is it, and I end with this, what is it that the Lord may be dealing with? There may be several things, and I don't want to know. It's between you and the Lord. Don't come to me and ask me to help you push you through. I can't do it. This is between you and the Lord. Those days of somebody helping you push, those were back when you were in second grade. You're not there anymore. The things God has ordained for you in the days ahead are amazing. And I don't want to be lacking. I want to be received of the Lord. How about you? So is there something that God keeps talking to you about? If you he that has an ear, let him hear. Seems he says that seven times in this dialogue of these churches. Seems he always said that when it would be difficult. He that has an ear, let him hear. If you have an ear, yeah, well, hey, I hear something. I don't know what was that? I don't know. You know good and well what it is. If God keeps talking to you about something, lay it before him. He's not going to beat you up. Lord, you keep touching on this thing, and I don't really like it when you touch it. I think I'm justified by this thing. Don't argue with him. Say, why are you bringing this up? I want you to just adjust it. I submit it to you. And if you submit it in this atmosphere, you better make certain you mean it. It's not the old, I can't say Indian giver anymore. It's not the bait and switch. Yeah, Lord, I'm giving it to you. What's that behind your back? I know you got something in your hand. I'm God. I know what's there. Give it to him. There's some things right now that I felt perfectly justified in thinking. Logically justified. But God says, give it to me. Is that happening to any of you? The Lord loves you. To him that overcomes in this. The hardest, just like the old thing, I've seen the enemy and it is us. The hardest enemy you will ever face is right inside you. The heart is desperately wicked. It seems I read that somewhere. Who can know it? Let God work with you in overcoming whatever area it is that the Lord says you got to get that out of there because it's not like me. Boy, I'm preaching now, Trish. How you let me do that? These are good days. Enjoy the moments in these next days with the Lord and let him have his way, because it's for the purpose of victory. Amen? Father, I thank you for your kindness to us. And throughout this day, this seems to be the theme of the day, from early on, all through the worship time, to now. We submit ourselves to you. And I ask that your Spirit would come and guide us and speak to us and encourage. Let these times with you be wonderful. There's nothing more wonderful than submitting ourselves to God. It's the humble that he exalts. It's the pride that he resists. We don't want that pride. We want humility. We want meekness. We want submission before you. And I thank you for this time that you've chosen to allow us to participate in this glorious offering that you've made that's in conjunction with your scripture. And that's important. Use it to fulfill what you ordained it to fulfill. I speak blessing over every one of these saints. I speak blessing over our mission before you. I speak blessing as this gathering of saints is about to begin in this house. We welcome your presence. We're honored by you, Father. Come, move among your people. Welcome them as they drive into the parking lot, as they land at the airport. Welcome them. And let whatever your will is be perfectly accomplished. We submit ourselves to you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. And we ask it all in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, forgive me for preaching a little bit this morning. But I speak blessing over all of you. These are great days. God is good. thanks for being here. Enjoy this time change. Don't forget to register. Katie got after you. Don't forget to register. All right. God bless you. Goodbye.